Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 17th day of January 2024. I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest on the program today. His name is Kevin Hay. He's pastor of Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, The Sheep and Their Shepherds, the relationship between pastors and church members, an exposition of Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 21. We'll also be announcing the 2024 Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee, on the theme, Why Calvinism? Because our guest today, Pastor Kevin Hay, is on the speaking roster at that event. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Kevin Hay.
Thank you, Chris. It is a joy and an honor to be on the show.
Well, it's a joy and an honor to have you on the show. And tell our listeners about Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona.
Yeah, Redeemer Bible Church is a church that I have been on staff at since June of 2023. And so it's, I've been a privilege to be a part of the pastoral staff here. Our lead pastor is John Benzinger. We're a church of about 2,000 people who come through on the weekends. We have 8 services on the weekends. And we have 5 services on the weekend. We had 8 on the Christmas Eve time, but we have 5 normally, 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. Great pastoral staff, great group of believers, and my family and I have both just been altogether blessed to be a part of the church.
Praise God. What would be a theological description of the church?
Yeah, I would say we're a Reformed church in terms of our soteriology. We would be cessationist. We would hold to a premillennial dispensational view of eschatology, very much in line with Grace Community, John MacArthur. In fact, a lot of our guys on staff are graduates of TMS. So,
and one interesting note that may surprise many of our listeners. But at one time was not the nephew of Benny Hinn, a member of the pastoral staff there, Costi Hinn?
Yeah, that's right. Costi's a good friend of mine and had a chance to get to know him during our time together at TMS, in fact, in the Doctorate of Ministry program. And Costi was a student pastor here. And then just a couple of years ago, we had the privilege of helping to plant Costi. And he's now the pastor of Shepherd's House Bible Church, just in the next town over in Chandler, Arizona. And the Lord's just doing a great work in and through the ministry of Costi and all of the faithful brothers and sisters there as well.
And we should reassure our listeners that he is not following in his uncle's footsteps when it comes to almost anything that you can think of.
Quite the contrary.
Yeah, he is a cessationist. He is theologically reformed. And in fact, if you want to hear his testimony, I have the archived recording of my interview with Costi. I believe I've interviewed him a couple of times. But you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and you type in Costi, that's his first name, in the search engine, and the interviews that I've had with him will come up. And for those of you who want to find out more about Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona, go to RedeemerAZ4Arizona.org, RedeemerAZ.org. Well, we have a custom here, Pastor Kevin, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, that guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which those guests were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents to this day are still not believers. Continuing to share the gospel with them and point them to Christ. But yeah, praying for their salvation. And for those listeners, I would encourage them to and appreciate the prayers for my family as well. But yeah, my grandmother was the Christian in my family. And so she would invite me as a young child to come and attend church with her. And so I would go and, you know, I believe at that time that the seeds of the gospel were planted into my mind. And, you know, years later in my early 20s is when the Lord actually would use those seeds of the gospel to draw me to Christ and to reveal to me my sinfulness. And so there was a head knowledge of those things. I remember, you know, saying prayers in my teenage years after living, you know, like the devil during the day. And thinking that if I just prayed a prayer at night, that would be like my spiritual security blanket and do something for me. But the Lord was merciful and kind, and he saw fit by his grace to save me at the age of 20 years old. And it was actually in my home. I was living by myself and just really reflecting upon my life and the realization that it was not pleasing in God's sight just weighed heavily upon me. And being reminded of the gospel that I had heard as a young child just came into the forefront of my mind, and I was converted. And so, you know, the idea that God is sovereign was not difficult for me, because he made it very clear that he was coming and seeking me out. And I'm so thankful that he did.
And by the way, folks, I owe my guest an apology. He has been on the program before. It's not his first time. And in fact, the first time that he was on the program was on my birthday last year, February, the day before my birthday, February 13th, 2023. And you could look up that interview if you'd like after this live interview is over. Just type in Kevin Hay, H-A-Y, into the search engine, and you'll find our interview on the necessity of expository preaching. And my apologies, but I don't believe that you were the pastor of Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona at the time, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was actually in a season of transition at that time, and we were just praying about, you know, where the Lord would direct us, and he was just so kind to lead us to Redeemer and to get to be a part of the pastoral staff here. And I will also give you a little bit of credit, Chris. You were under the weather that day, and so you were pressing on, and so I don't fault you one bit for not remembering.
Well, I appreciate your graciousness. Well, we are talking about a very important subject today, the sheep and their shepherds, the relationship between pastors and church members, which is an exposition of Hebrews 13:7-21. And was this either your doctoral dissertation or some paper that you wrote as a master's seminary student?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, just two nights ago, I submitted my first draft of this dissertation that we're talking about today on the sheep and their shepherds to the faculty at TMS for my doctoral ministry degree in expository preaching. And so this is one that it's been a labor of love for me, but it's also just been one that's near and dear to my heart and has been one of theological study, but also a lot of just practical experience over the past several years. And so, yeah, recently submitted that and excited to see what the Lord's going to do with it.
Well, praise God. I'm excited to hear about that. So please provide updates. But this is a very important issue, obviously, because the health of Christ's sheep largely often depends upon the relationship of the sheep with their under-shepherds, their pastors. Now, thanks be to God, since all men, including pastors, are flawed human beings, we are all sinners saved by grace, and until we are in glory, we will all battle with sin. So thank God that the mental and spiritual well-being of the sheep is not 100% dependent upon the relationship they have with their pastors, but it is definitely an added bonus, and that's putting it mildly. It's a very important thing to the growth and maturity of sheep when they have not only very qualified under shepherds, also known as pastors, but when these men have truly have been given by God the heart of a shepherd and are nurturing the flock, and the relationship that they have is more than a person in a pew being a spectator who once a week sees and hears the pastor deliver a sermon, and that's about the extent of the relationship that they have. So tell us about some of the primary things that you believe are important in this equation here.
Yeah, I think it'd be helpful to provide a little bit of context for the listeners, just to help them understand kind of where I have been coming from and why this topic has been so important to me, aside from just, you know, the importance that Scripture places upon it, which obviously is primary. So for me, I was a co-pastor in a church that I helped to plant. Essentially from the year 2009, we merged with another church in 2012. And then for 6 years, I was a part of a co-pastor model with another brother. And that was a time and a season where the Lord did a lot of amazing things, but being in a co-pastor model had a lot of challenges that came with it. We did have elders, and the two of us were part of that elder, team. And I will say we were what we would consider elder ruled when you think about the different types of church polities. And then from there, I had the opportunity to be a lead pastor at two different churches, one in Indiana and then one in West Virginia. And then now, of course, I am on a pastoral staff. But along the way, I've been a part of different models for church government. And I mentioned the one, you know, being elder ruled. Another one that I was a part of was really congregational, but it was managed or led by a board of managers. So it was kind of this quasi elder, but it was made up of men and women, and it was a very strange kind of dynamic. And then my previous church was an elder led church, but it was congregationally governed. And so I've had the opportunity or the experience, I might say, to be able to be a part of each of those, to see what things worked, what things didn't work. And then, of course, all the while seeing what Scripture actually says about church leadership and the health of the church when it comes to things like elders and deacons and so forth. And so that gave me a real heart for that. And originally, my dissertation was going to be focused on a path to plurality. So I was really focused on, as a pastor at that time, a lone pastor without co-laborers as elders, I really was focused on trying to help churches like mine go from being a solo pastor model to doing what the Bible says, which is to establish a plurality of elders. We see Paul calling, you know, Timothy to do that in Scripture. Titus 1:5, for example, he tells Titus that he left him in Crete. And one of the specific purposes he left him there was to appoint elders, plural, in every city. And we can go on and on. I mean, that's the pattern of Scripture, is a plurality of elders. And so that was my heart's desire. But then as my context changed, I began to focus more on just the health of the local church and how it is so dependent upon actually functioning according to the way God has designed the church. And so I think that's really the question then we have to ask ourselves. Is there an ideal way that the church should function? Has, you know, Jesus promised 2,000 years ago thereabout that he would build his church? But does that mean he's the builder and not the architect too? You know, what does that mean? And if so, does scripture have something to say to us about how the church should be structured? And my argument, of course, is it absolutely does. And then when you juxtapose that with the church today, we see that churches are closing across the country at really an alarming rate. You have people in their 20s and their 30s who are starting to what they call deconstruct their faith, you know, this faith that they were raised to believe in. They're just walking away from it. And studies show that in the United States alone, the number of professing Christians could shrink down to around 35% just by the year 2070 in America. So, you know, you start looking at some of those statistics, and of course, God is sovereign over all of that, but he's also sovereign over the means. And so this became a very, very important topic for me, because I think at the heart of it all is demonstrating that the hope of the church's success is found in the church's health, and God is the designer of the church. And so it really starts with having qualified elders, biblically qualified elders who are called by God. And when we look at places like 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, it provides for us, you know, for any man who is aspiring to the role of elder or overseer, shepherd, pastor in the church, scripture provides these qualifications. And as you said earlier, very well, Chris, we're not talking about perfection here. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 21, in verse 7, the author of Hebrews will instruct the church to remember those who have faithfully taught them the word of God in the past, to have esteem and honor for those people. And then directly after that, to kind of remind them that, you know, they have shortcomings, they have failures, they have sins. He says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's the only perfect shepherd. He is the matchless one. And he is the great shepherd of the sheep who the under shepherds are stewarding and serving those entrusted to their care under his great shepherd leadership. And so I would say it really starts there. And so for those listening, you know, that's the point we want to press into first and foremost, is just making sure that churches are being led by qualified, called, spirit-filled men who fit the qualifications found in scripture. And from there, that's whenever you can begin to establish a right relationship between those men who are leading and those who are entrusted to their care.
Amen. And the one thing that pastors themselves and the flock have got to realize, this has been brought up before, but when a man proves himself to be disqualified or unqualified from the office, when the issue is serious enough, as we've already established, every pastor sins. So not every sin disqualifies a pastor, but if he's been involved in sexual sin, if he has been involved in provable financial misappropriation, theft, and so forth, stealing the church's money, and we could go on and on with things that would no longer make him above reproach. People have to remember, God doesn't need that man or those men in the pastoral office. Of course, he is ordained to use pastors in order to, you know, proclaim the gospel, to provide church discipline, to baptize, and to, you know, administer the ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper. And they are crucial in God's plan as far as being means. But the individuals themselves, it's not like God needs them. And when we have people who may be talented in many ways, they may be great orators, or they may be prolific writers, and on and on and on. They may even been used by God to bring thousands to salvation, that still does not put them in a place where no matter what they've done, they are needed in that position of the pastoral office. They can't be replaced in the minds of many, and therefore you have people who fall into scandalous sin who are being reinstituted as pastors and back in the pulpit in amazingly short periods of time, very often. This can never be a part of the practice of a true church, can it?
That's right. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think that a lot of that has to do with do we actually believe that Scripture is sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness, not the least of which how we function as a local church? And unfortunately, even as you think back to what we just talked about the qualification for elders, or even before that, whether your church has elders, many churches, instead of designing or establishing their church upon the biblical model for church, they instead will go to some sort of business model. And so they start off on the wrong foot right from the very beginning. And then, of course, you know, if you're off just a few degrees over time, we know what that looks like. You're off a wide span. And so it's imperative that we start there and that we stay there in the Word of God, reminding ourselves that Scripture is sufficient for all of it. Who is the author of Scripture? It is God himself, and he is omniscient. He is wise. He knows what he's doing. And so we have to simply trust him. And so then as you get to these qualifications, then if a church is going to truly trust in God's word and believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and believe that God is the authority and the one who gets to dictate these things, I mean, he is very actively involved in all of this. So we're not deists who believe that God just created and then he kind of sits back and watches it all play out. No, he is intricately involved and sovereign over all of these details. And so when it comes to a pastor who has fallen, you know, there does come a question as to, as you just talked about, talking about some of the criteria there. Is he above reproach? That's the question. And it takes, I think, a group of godly men who know the situation, who know the man, who have examined him in light of that information, to then determine, you know, is this man no longer fit? And we're not talking about restoration, right, to the body of Christ. I think sometimes that gets confused. We're talking about the difference between restoration and disqualification. And so just because a man may be disqualified for the office of elder or pastor, that does not mean he can't be restored to church membership. The contrary is actually the case. But the calling of elder or pastor is supposed to be of such a high standard that it makes a difference in terms of what the characteristic pattern of your life looks like. And as you just spoke to, we live in a world where we've seen multiple cases where either that process has not been handled the way it should have been handled. Perhaps something has been swept under the rug, which automatically causes the congregation then to lose respect and esteem and honor for those who they are supposed to be called to respect and submit to. And so, you know, again, God has purposes for all of these things that are found in his word. And even if we don't understand the full implications for why it's there, if we act contrary to them, we will soon find out that it is to our detriment.
Well, we are going to our first commercial break. If anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, please send your questions to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. It may be something involving your own pastors, your own congregation, your own denomination, or you may even be the pastor yourself. It may be some disagreement you have with your fellow elders or denomination or some issue in the congregation. Whatever it is, we understand that there will be at times people who are asking questions about personal and private matters. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. We'll be right back with Pastor Kevin Hay, so please don't go away.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654.
That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing, mind-blowing opportunity. They are providing us with the ability to receive 100% of the profits of any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener who mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So please, if you have any intention to buy jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and don't forget Valentine's Day is coming up, please go to royaldiadem.com to make your purchase or have something custom designed. Please do that as soon as possible, because we have no idea when royaldiadem.com will pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the prophets. So if you want to bless yourself or someone you love, and also at the same time bless Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, please buy your jewelry as soon as possible from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. I'm now back with our guest, Kevin Hay. And as we said earlier in the program, Kevin is the pastor of Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona. We are discussing the sheep and their shepherds, the relationship between pastors and church members. And if you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Well, I'd like, before I take any listener questions, I'd like to provide us with, according to your experience, what you think most Christians, whether they be pastors or members of the church, non-office bearers, what is typically the most frequently committed errors when it comes to understanding the right relationship between pastor and member?
Oh, that's a really great question. So you're asking to be specific, when it comes to a member of a congregation, what do you think the greatest error is in terms of their understanding?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think it's wide ranging. I think more than anything, it ends up coming from some sort of biblical illiteracy, which ultimately then ends up falling back on those who are called to actually teach them the truth of God's word. But I think it's not recognizing the fact that, as we see in Hebrews 13:17, well, I'll just read the verse. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." And so I think in the minds of some, it's that, you know, they pay their money, they give their offering to the church, and that goes in the pockets of the pastors. It's their job to preach and serve, and, you know, that's the relationship. But in reality, you know, James 3 says, you know, be careful if you're going to call yourself a teacher, because you're going to be held to a higher standard. And that's exactly what the 17th verse of Hebrews 13 is referring to, that those whom God calls to shepherd his sheep, they are going to be one day held accountable by the great shepherd of the sheep. And so that's a weighty, weighty task whenever a pastor recognizes rightly that, you know, we're all living coram Deo, which is to say before the face of God, but to always live in the forefront of our minds with the reality that we are going to stand before God and give a greater level of accountability before the Lord, in whatever way that looks like, because we've been entrusted with a noble task. We've been entrusted with his precious word. We've been called to teach it and explain it. We've been called to live in an unhypocritical way that helps to demonstrate and illustrate to the people what this should look like. So there's a lot that goes into that. And I think for the average church member, they probably don't recognize that high accountability factor. But again, as I said, it ends up falling back on those who are actually called to be teaching them, because for anything that the member is not recognizing or failing to recognize from Scripture, it's perhaps most because they're not getting the whole counsel of God taught to them from their pastors.
Okay, let's see. We have a listener for you with a question, and I was just looking at that question. Here it is. Oh, in fact, this is no ordinary listener. This is a listener who is also, I believe, on the speaking roster at the upcoming Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Michael Schultz, Jr., senior pastor, senior pastor at Antioch Baptist Church, associate professor of church history at Forge Theological Seminary, and he has a question. As a pastor, I am deeply interested in his perspective. Do you take James chapter 3, verse 1, to mean that God will judge pastors more strictly, harshly than laypersons? And if so, does this mean that God sees a distinction between clergymen and laymen? Many today are keen to diminish such a distinction. I am curious about your thoughts. Yes, in fact, Baptists historically were cautious about how much of a gap would be placed between the understanding of a so-called clergyman and a layman. And some Baptists despise those terms, but it doesn't mean that they didn't hold the office of elder or pastor in a specific level of authority and role. But if you could answer the question for Pastor Michael.
Yeah, that's a great question, and shout out to my brother, Michael. He's a good brother and a good friend, and I actually get to partner with him as one of the professors at Forge Theological Seminary, so I'm privileged to be a part of that. I think that the caution in terms of putting one above the other, if you want to use that language, is as if to say that somehow pastors are more important or that their gifts are somehow more important than, the average member of the church, to use that language. So I would share that same caution in that, we're all image bearers of God. Every one of the gifts in God's church is vitally important to the building up of the body, as we see in Ephesians 4. So in terms of importance, absolutely, we're all on the same footing there, and we need to value all of the gifts, kind of in an equal way, because they're all vitally important. However, when you think about James chapter 3, and then when you think about Hebrews 13:17, I think it's unavoidable that when it comes to accountability, it's kind of like the saying, with greater privilege comes greater responsibility. And I would say the same thing about husbands and wives, right? Fathers and mothers. Like, there's an order that God has given, structure to the family and to the church. And again, when it comes to husbands and wives, that's not saying that they are somehow unequal in their value or importance. However, when the Lord stepped into the garden in Genesis, the first person he spoke to was Adam, right? Because there is a level of accountability and responsibility that fell on him as the leader of his family. And the same can be said about the church. And so is there some mystery in terms of what that accountability looks like? Yes, but I would also say that is the thing that should sober up every pastor and really every member. I mean, Scripture calls all of us to work out our own salvation, not with flippancy, but rather with fear and trembling. And, I don't think we think seriously enough about that as just believers in general. So I hope that's helpful in the way I tried to break that down. But yes, I do think Scripture does point to a greater level of accountability being held for pastors and leaders.
By the way, Michael, I would love to interview you as well on the program, especially since you are one of the speakers on the roster at the Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee next month. So please shoot me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com with all of your contact information so that we can arrange that interview. If you could now, let's take a temporary break from our topic to have you give more details to our listeners about the Open Air Theology Conference.
Yeah, this is something I'm really excited about. For any of your listeners who may be familiar with last year's conference, we just had a great time last year in Tullahoma talking about the topic of from shadows to substance. And a lot of the guys who were there then are also going to be here for this upcoming conference. It's going to be held in Tullahoma, once again, Tennessee, on February the 22nd through February the 24th. Really a great lineup of speakers. I'm humbled to be a part of all of the guys who are going to be there. And at the end of it, there's actually going to be a debate that our brother and friend James White is going to be having on the topic of the atonement, I believe. And so, yeah, for anybody who's going to be in the Tennessee area, especially near Tullahoma there at the end of February, I would strongly encourage you and recommend you to come out, be a part of that conference. It's really going to be a great time.
And you
on the topic of why Calvinism.
Right, and you've also corrected my pronunciation of Tullahoma. I've been calling it Tullahoma for a couple of years now, and nobody's ever corrected me.
Don't take my word for it, Chris.
I'm sorry?
I said, don't take my word for it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll before
Jeffrey Rice is your guy.
Yeah, before I make Tullahoma my permanent pronunciation, I'll check with Jeffrey. If anybody wants more details on the Open Air Theology Conference, which is happening next month, go to openairtheology.com, openairtheology.com. And does the conference actually take place outside, or is that just a name they've adopted because of the history of the conferences maybe addressing that issue?
Yeah, it takes place indoors. We actually were in Jeffrey's church at Covenant Reformed Baptist Church last year, and this year we'll be in the South Jackson Civic Center. So it will be indoors. We'll just be airing openly the theology put forth.
And I might as well list the men who are scheduled to speak, most of whom I know personally and have interviewed on this program before. Jeff Rice is on the roster. He is also the owner and founder of Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, in addition to being the hosting pastor of this conference. My friend Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries. My friend Claude Ramsey, who pastors a Reformed Baptist church in Knoxville, Tennessee, Reformata Baptist Church. And he is also the host of the Here I Stand Theology podcast. My friend Keith Foskey, who is one of the pastors at Sovereign Grace Family Church in Jacksonville, Tennessee, and also is a podcast host and quite a hilariously gifted comedian. And let's see, we have Braden Patterson, Brandon Scalf, Michael Schultz, who just submitted the question, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and of course my guest Kevin Hay. So go to openairtheology.com to register or to find out more about this conference. And this information that we have just received about the higher level of accountability that those who enter into the pastoral ministry have, this should really give men caution before they quickly and too eagerly pursue a calling they believe they have into the pastoral ministry. Some may think that because they are gifted orators and love public speaking, and they know that they have a certain level of biblical literacy that they believe makes them qualified, and we could go on and on with reasons why men want to enter into the pastoral ministry, but some of them might not really grasp the frightening aspect of this. Am I going overboard here?
Not at all. I think that is a very important word of caution, and I think that's what part of what Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3 are intending for us to do is to take inventory, not just for the man, but also for the body of leadership elders that are examining that man. And so, you know, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, for example, Paul says there, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And so there's an aspiration, a desire that is coming upon a man. So he's desiring the role. And Paul says this is a noble, lofty, high task. And then, therefore, an overseer must be, and he begins then to list out the qualifications. And so, you know, if all of us are being honest, in humility, we have to sadly confess that we have fallen short in probably all of these areas to one degree or another at some point in our lives. But that's not the characteristic pattern of those who are elders. And in fact, I would also add, this should not be the characteristic pattern of any believer. So really, this should be a description of all godliness that takes place in our lives. It's just that when it comes to elders, it is such a high and lofty calling that there needs to be sober examination to say, okay, you're desiring this, but what does your life look like in practice? Even when you get down to verse 6, he must not be a recent convert. There's a great deal of wisdom and thoughtfulness that goes into this on the part of the Lord. Why should a recent convert not be an elder? Well, Paul says he might become puffed up or with pride and conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so even just thinking about the pride that comes with a role of that magnitude in terms of the privilege side, right, that you're a leader and somehow you're seen with some level of authority. So I don't think that you're overstating the case at all. I think, in fact, it needs to be a very, very serious, sobering examination point for any man who would be considering whether or not God has actually called him into the role of pastor.
By the way, I want to apologize to three of the speakers scheduled to be on the roster at the Open Air Theology Conference. I didn't scroll down far enough and forgot that my friend Dr. Sam Waldron, who I've known for years, who is not only a pastor in Owensboro, Kentucky, a Reformed Baptist church there, but he's also the president of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary in Owensboro. Sam Waldron is one of the speakers. Haps Addison, who I've also had on the program. And Jamie Terry, who is going to be a guest on the program. And so I wanted to make sure I included these three men, even though I forgot to do so previously. But once again, go to openairtheology.com for a full a list of everybody on the roster and everything else that is required of you to register. It's openairtheology.com. We're going to our midway break right now, so please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers, keeping in mind that our advertisers are essential for this program to remain on the air. The funding that we receive from churches, parachurch ministries, and businesses and private practices and people who sponsor advertising for special events, that funding is essential for our existence. So please contact our advertisers, and when you can't buy anything that they're offering or purchase the services that they're offering, at the very least, contact our advertisers to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also send in your questions to Pastor Kevin Hay, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, remember that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a serious crisis in book sales. So we're hoping that many of you in my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience will come to the rescue and purchase books from solid-ground-books.com today. If you've never purchased from solid-ground-books.com before, make today your very first purchase. And even if you're a regular customer of theirs, and perhaps you even purchase books every month, well, make today your largest purchase that you've ever made from solid-ground-books.com. And please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to recommend a couple of books that really are perfectly reflective of what we are addressing today. The first book is a book that I have ordered myself from solid-ground-books.com by a brother in Christ from the 19th century, Pastor Stephen Ting, and that's T-Y-N-G. That's the spelling of Pastor Ting's last name. He is one of these unknown or virtually unknown great minds of the 19th century that solid-ground-books.com has unearthed from obscurity. And the book that he has written is The Christian Pastor, The Office and Duty of the Gospel Minister. Stephen H. Ting was the pastor at St. George's Episcopal Church in the 19th century, and he was a thoroughly biblical and thoroughly Calvinistic Episcopal minister. And when you read his writings, you would never think, knowing of the state of the Episcopal Church in our day and age, you would never think that this brother from the 19th century was Episcopalian at all. And I mean no disrespect for those solid Episcopalians that are out there, many of whom I've actually interviewed, who are Reformed Episcopalians and Reformed Anglicans. So that's one book that I highly recommend that reflects what we're talking about today. Just go to solid-ground-books.com and type in the search engine Tyng, T-Y-N-G. And there are some other books. There are many other books there that are perfect for pastors and those that want to learn more about the pastoral ministry. And in fact, there are a dozen Baptist books from Pastors Fund that you can look up. Just type in pastor into the search engine and you'll have a treasure trove. And keep in mind, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print books such as the one that I mentioned by 19th century pastor Stephen Tyng, and also books from our current day, including books by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, please remember that if you really love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So if you want to advertise something, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, another thing to never forget. I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to cut in to the finances that you have specifically set aside to give to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please never do that. In other words, never give your own church less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet financially before you send us a financial gift. There are two things that are crystal clear in the Bible about the finances with which God has blessed us. We are to use them primarily to provide for our church and our family, and providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us and go to ironsharpensironradio.com to do so. Click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Redeemer Bible Church of Gilbert, Arizona, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if that's the case, you are without a church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in your questions to Pastor Kevin Hay, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have an anonymous listener with a question for you, Pastor Kevin. The anonymous listener says, what do you believe are the reasons a person would leave a church because of pastoral problems that would make their leaving essential? There are some people who may have horrible pastors and have horrible relationships with them, but they stay because they believe they are somehow and sometime going to make beneficial changes at those churches. Sometimes I think that those people linger in bad churches far too long, and if they were to be honest with themselves, they are in no position to make beneficial changes. Some even think they're going to bring reform to denominations that are heretical and corrupt, as if they were a modern-day Martin Luther. But what is your counsel in regard to when a congregant must leave the church where they are a member?
Yeah, such a great question, and one that I know many believers wrestle with all over the country, if not the world. And I myself, I'll say, have been in that situation before as a member of a church. I remember both thinking, okay, it's probably time to go, but also previous to that, thinking I was going to be not realizing the reference to Martin Luther would be so accurate, you know, like a modern day reformer reforming that particular denomination, which was a fool's errand, of course. But yeah, I would go back to Hebrews 13:17 and just think about some of the presuppositions that are found in that verse. So again, flowing from this concept of our the foundation and the practice of worship. We see that in verses 10 through 16. And then when you get to verse 17, as a form of our worship to the Lord, we are called to obey and submit to our leaders and let them do this with joy, you know, not with groaning, because they're going to keep watch over our souls. So I think really that the presupposition there is that, okay, I'm supposed to obey my leaders according to what? And does that mean anything that my leaders tell me, I'm supposed to automatically obey everything they say? You know, if I say I'm thinking about buying a vehicle and the leader says it needs to be a blue one, do I have to obey that? Well, no. The presupposition there is that we're obeying them so as they are in obedience to Christ as demonstrated in his authoritative word. So if your pastor is telling you to do something sinful, well, we appeal to Scripture, not to the sinful thing that the pastor is saying. By the same token, if the pastor is teaching something that is untrue, we are to reject that. So we're all called to be Bereans, right? To test the Scripture and to let that be the objective standard by which all things are measured. So with that said, I think that number one, I would say if a person is at the point where they are considering leaving a church, I think it needs to be brought before the Lord with a great deal of thoughtfulness and prayerfulness, asking the Lord for his wisdom and his discernment. I think at the end of the day, if you could kind of summarize the reasons for why you would leave a church, I think it comes down to Are you at the point where you can no longer trust the leadership of your church? Have they demonstrated in some way, one, that they are actually unqualified according to the biblical standard, or two, and kind of maybe 1A or 1B, I should say, have they demonstrated that they're no longer able to be trusted because they're not actually teaching the soundness of what Scripture presents? But again, I would just kind of bookend that guidance, that recommendation with thoughtfulness, with prayer, and even counsel. You know, if there's another pastor or faithful brother or sister that you trust, I would ask their counsel, get their advice on that as well, because it's really difficult to answer a question like that without all of the particulars of the context that they're in. But in general, those are the things I think we need to be thinking about.
Yes, and don't church members need to be very, very extremely cautious about reaching the conclusions they make when they are basically laying down the gauntlet and saying, this pastor is not trustworthy, I've got to leave, because we are all sinners. There are occasions when you're average church member may elevate the seriousness of a fault they find with the pastor, at least the fault that they see in their minds, with the pastor, and it may be far more serious a fault in that person's mind than the reality would prove to be a fact. And you know, people do exaggerate things at times, and people yeah. can leave a church for trivial matters, and sometimes it's just because their feelings were hurt over something. But if you could expand upon what I said.
Yeah, that's a great clarification. And I think one of the saddest things for me as a pastor over the past little over a decade is seeing people leave the church without actually sitting down with me or someone else on the pastoral staff and explaining why it is that they are leaving. And in fact, it very well could be. And I know there have been certain situations where they actually made an assumption about something that was not actually true and jumped to a conclusion based upon that assumption. When if they would have sat down, you know, at the beginning of those thoughts, then we could have had a very healthy conversation with one another, and there would have been some light shed on the situation, and they probably would not have made that decision. So I think that's a very good point to make. Scripture does talk about being very cautious, even in making accusations against an elder. You know, there needs to be witnesses that are also there for that because of the high calling and the seriousness of what's at stake. But I do think that's another great clarifying point, is just to say, you know, if there's something that is really troublesome to you, you need to request the opportunity to sit down and speak with your pastor about that. If it's so serious that you're contemplating leaving, we certainly never want to jump to conclusions, especially based upon some preconceived idea or assumption we might have.
Okay, we have another anonymous listener who wants to know, in your biblically trained opinion, should a pastor who changes his views on some matter of theology, let's say he moves from Arminianism to Calvinism, or moves from premillennialism to amill or postmillennialism, or something to that effect, other than what the church has already established as their beliefs, perhaps even for centuries, should that pastor automatically step down, or should he request a series of meetings with the leaders and congregation to work through these things, because he may be able to convince those, especially in leadership, that he was correct in the changes that he made?
Yeah, and this is another one of those types of questions that really depends on the denomination you're a part of, the longstanding nature of the theology or theological position that we're talking about. You know, to use a more blatant example, for if you have a guy who's pastoring in the Presbyterian church, for example, and he reaches what I would call the biblical position on believer's baptism rather than infant baptism, he is not going to change the Presbyterian denomination's mind on infant baptism. And so,
in fact, I know the reverse just happened recently of a church. Yeah. I'm not going to mention the church, but the church where a listener in our audience is a member, the reverse happened, where at least two of the elders who were Baptist became Presbyterian.
Yeah, and in that case, you know, we're talking about some very deep-seated theological issues that span literally centuries. So that's not something that's going to shift. And I think it would be in that pastor's best interest then to have an open conversation with his fellow leaders, and then to begin, you know, addressing that and figuring out where the Lord's leading him next. But I think other situations are not quite like that. And I think in situations where perhaps a brother has recognized, you know, the sovereignty of God and salvation to such a degree where he sees that his church, you know, by and large, they've not been taught that over the years. I think the first thing he should do is begin to find opportunities to speak with the other leaders about that. You know, sit down and have that conversation first, make sure that everyone is on the same page, and then begin teaching the congregation. And I can just say from personal experience, I've never been someone who has taught Calvinism, but it's always teaching what the Bible teaches. And of course, the fact that I'm going to be in a conference that says why Calvinism tells you where I'm at on that political or theological spectrum. But, you know, so I think it's a matter of just exegeting God's word, expositing scripture, walking through the text. But yes, those conversations do need, if there's a shift theologically, you need to make sure that the leaders of the church are not being blindsided by the shift that you've come to in your theological position. But again, that guidance is being provided, recognizing that every context is different. And so, you know, the decisions that are made are going to be dependent upon what context you find yourselves in and what that theological shift happens to be, because each one of those is going to result in a different set of decisions.
Yes. And wouldn't it also be a significant thing to add into the equation how essential is this belief where the pastor has changed in regard to its connection to the history of that church? Like, for instance, an eschatological change, I think, should warrant some kind of a study before radical measures are taken to insist that the pastor step down. Like, for instance, both the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith and the Westminster Confession, which are nearly identical intentionally, none of them are detailed about eschatology other than the belief in the visible physical return of Christ in the future. But they do not mandate neither of those confessions and the three forms of unity, if I'm not mistaken, also don't insist on one or another of the major perspectives, such as amillennial, postmillennial, historic, premillennial. You get into more tricky areas with dispensationalism and pre-tribulationalism, but the other major views are not specified in the confessions. So shouldn't we graciously allow somebody to try to make their case?
Yeah, and I think underpinning my first example of theoretical brother who's making a shift on the concept of baptism would be an example of that. I think it just becomes difficult. You know, you have primary doctrines, which are basically the doctrine of who God is and the doctrine of the gospel that are primary in nature in that way. And if someone makes a shift on that, they just need to step down, not just from a church, but from the faith altogether. Then you also have doctrines that are primary in terms of the church's practice. And I think that's what we're talking about in what you're saying. There are certain practices that churches have, certain underpinnings that are crucial to how they function. And baptism would be one of those. And I would say, yeah, eschatology would come probably just after that. So yeah, those are major ones. And again, I think the context matters. In all of these, though, there needs to be, just like we talked about before, with members coming and speaking to their elders, the elders need to have open, honest, transparent conversations, which should be happening all the time, before any drastic measures are taken. Because at the end of the day, we believe that we're all in the same household of faith, right? So we were different denominations, but we believe each other to be brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's not the conversation we're having. It's an in-house conversation about practice. And so that needs to be taking place.
Great. And I'd like you to, before we go to any more listener questions, to bring up specific things that you had in mind when you suggested we discuss this issue, and some of the things that might be pertinent and focused upon or highlighted in your dissertation about this issue?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We really have touched on many of them. Honestly, I think that really the verse that even drove me to the passage is the one I've referenced many times. And so I'll just expound on that for a few moments, again, for the sake of listeners who may have joined later on in the program. Hebrews 13:17 is such a key verse in all of Scripture, but particularly this passage that we're discussing. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. So if we kind of just walk through that verse, I think it has a great deal to say to us. Obey and submit, those probably seem synonymous to us in a lot of ways. But in reality, when we think about the idea of obedience, we often think of it as you just do what you're told to do. But as I mentioned earlier, it's really anchored first and foremost in the idea that you are being obedient to Scripture, and then you're being obedient to those whom God has placed in your care as they are seeking to be obedient to Scripture. And then the second part of that, submit, the interesting thing about this is that this is the only time that this is used in the entire New Testament, this particular word. And it has really two meanings. So on the one hand, it means to stop resisting. But at the same time, it also means to start receiving admonition. And so there's kind of this more of a passiveness on the part of submitting, and there's more of an activeness on the part of obedience. But it's something that we are called to be doing continuously. And actually, in secular Greek, a cognate form of this word was frequently used when referring to military subordination. So this is a pretty serious, strong language that the author of Hebrews is using. And it's the part of these members who have covenanted together with the church. They've at some point made a commitment to say, I'm trusting your leadership. I want you to care for my soul. And they're now called to actively obey and submit to their leaders who are teaching them the word of God. And then the author of Hebrews goes on to give the why. Because they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So the calling of elder is there, the calling of shepherd, the divine calling that God has placed upon these men who are going to one day give an account for how well they have cared for the souls that have been entrusted to their shepherding. And so the exhortation then is let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so the kind of, you know, question is why? Why would there be a difference between doing it with joy and doing it with grief? Well, if you're a church member who is just constantly rebelling against the leadership of your pastor, well, that's not going to be a very joyful experience, right? And John says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in the truth. And so if you want to be a blessing to your pastor, one of the greatest ways to do that is to pursue personal holiness, to take the word of God seriously, and to seek to order yourself according to the way Scripture commands. And again, as you talked about early on in this program, Chris, we're really talking about the health of the local church, which is just such a near and dear topic to my heart. The church is beautiful. The design of the church is beautiful. We as sinners, however, have a tendency to do things that disorder the church, that cause division in the church, and that grieves the heart, not just of our pastors, but it grieves the heart of God. And so it's imperative that we recognize the high calling that of pastors, both today and the calling that they have in the accountability that they will face one day before the Lord, and just to recognize that their desires to care for the souls of their people.
Okay, we have Britton in Ellicott City, Maryland. And Britton asked, do you have any counsel about pastors developing friendships with individual members of the congregation?
Yeah, as a pastor, that is a a topic that I personally have wrestled with for many years. Certainly, there's nothing in Scripture that would forbid a pastor from having friendships with members of their church. And I think it's a good thing that pastors do have friendships. However, we have to recognize that there are levels to the responsibility that pastors have. And so we just have to make sure that the friendships that we have are in no way superseding the call that pastors have to shepherd those entrusted to their care. So, for example, if a pastor is becoming stronger friends, greater friends with a particular person, they just have to always remember that they are their pastor first and then their friend second, and not the other way around. I think sometimes what can happen is, you know, things that friend does perhaps can be kind of swept under the rug because, well, they're a friend of mine. And what you end up with then is kind of this differentiating, which Scripture obviously speaks strongly against. We see in the book of James, the rich and the poor juxtaposed, but the same can be said about those whom we're very close to emotionally versus those that we may not be. And so I think that's the most important thing. And for a pastor, that can be really difficult. It can be hard to establish friendships. You obviously want to get close to your church members and get to know them. Shepherds should smell like their sheep, as it's been said. But at the same time, you just have to make sure that the friendship is not in any way superseding that of the relationship between shepherd and sheep.
And we have another listener in Maryland, this time in Cabin John, Maryland, Evelyn. And Evelyn asks, what are the safeguards and restrictions when it comes to females becoming friends with their male pastors and elders?
Yeah, that's a very, very important point. And I would say it is the same for every Christian. So I don't think it's any different for a pastor than it is for a regular member of the church who is a male and his relationships with women. But at the same time, I would say, when it comes to being a pastor, that the issue becomes how do you minister to those people more than anything. And so when it comes to biblical counseling, having principles and safeguards that a pastor will make sure to have as non-negotiables in terms of, you know, do you have a female with you whenever you are counseling with a woman, the door to your office always being open when that's taking place, those types of things. And I know different pastors have different standards for what that looks like. So the first thing would be just recognizing that when you go back to the qualifications for elders, being above reproach, we often have to recognize that there's a perception that comes along with our interactions. And we have to be concerned with not just the reality of how we conduct ourselves, but we also have to be cautious of the perception. And so as believers, we think often about our witness, and perception comes in when we think about that. We want to be careful not to do anything that could be perceived other than what it actually is. And for a pastor, I think that's all the more important. I think there's other things I could say about that, but those are some of the specifics that you want to be thinking about. But by and large, men who are Christians should be thinking the same way pastors do about the relationships that they have with females. You always want to make sure that there's accountability. That's the biggest thing. We want to make sure there's accountability because we want to do things the way God would want us to do them.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and if you have any intention to submit a question of your own, please do so immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous. If your question is personal and private, we'll be right back with Pastor Kevin Hayes, so don't go away.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Patafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
And I want to give my heartfelt thanks once again to both the Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and also Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, for renewing their annual advertising contracts with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind you folks, you've been hearing for years the ads for the Historical Bible Society. Please keep in mind that that fine ministry was founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice, wherever you live in the United States, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and make sure you mention to Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I want to remind men and ministry leadership that if you would like to attend my next free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio biannual pastor's luncheon, which will be held Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. It's absolutely free. And our guest speaker for the very first time ever is Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Not only is admission and lunch free, you will also, everybody in attendance will receive a free heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. And you may even get two heavy sacks, depending upon how many we get this year. So please, if you have any intention to attend, send in your registration to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We have another listener, Aurora, in Glasgow, Delaware. And Aurora asks, I have heard that the pastor should never be paid more than the average person in the congregation. Some have gone the opposite direction and say that because a pastor is deserving of double honor, he should be paid double of what the average person in the congregation earns, and there are many views in between. I was wondering what your view on this, if any, is.
Yeah, I don't think, for good reason, probably Scripture provides us with any sort of exact amounts, but there are principles like the one that was just referenced there, worthy of double honor, and you want to make sure and be able to provide for them, using the analogy of the ox and the threshing floor and so forth. But I think the principle there is probably a good one. You think about your congregation, what is the average that the church member makes, somewhere along those lines, thinking about the principle of double honor. I wish I could say I had some sort of a hard and fast rule. It's one I have considered in the past, but I don't think that Scripture provides us with enough point blank direction on how exactly to approach that. But I think there are a number of those principles that we can consider to kind of come up with a good figure.
Should a man who is, especially a man who is called to pastoral office, be very careful about lavish living, wearing $5,000 suits, driving extremely expensive late model cars? And not only should the pastor be cautious about that, should not members be very cautious about their criticism? A person might spend a lot of money in a car because they want it to last a very long time. I don't think a pastor needs to be driving down in a death trap that's falling apart. But if you could comment on both of those issues.
Right. Scripture calls all of us to modesty. That's what we're called to be rich in spirit, but to be modest in our apparel. And I think it goes back in terms of pastors to what we talked about before, and that is perception. And so there has to be a recognition that our lives are lived for others to see them. And Scripture calls us to be living examples of others. And, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And that should be our mode of operation as well. And because of that, there has to be a recognition that your members are looking to you. So what kind of message are you sending if you are driving around in exotic sports cars? And you think about the sneakers and preachers kind of trend that has gone out. You have all of these things happening, but at the end of the day, it's a matter of what message are you sending to those who are following the example that you're providing? And I think it should be one that represents modesty. We are not wanting to call attention to ourselves. We only want to call attention to Christ. And so that should be our aim.
Amen. Do you have any final words that you'd like to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today?
Well, I was just going to make, as you did earlier, Chris, a couple of book recommendations that I think could be helpful for further reading. One of those on the topic of eldership itself is really a classic by Alexander Strauss. She has a number of great books.
Yeah, I've given away that book at my pastor's luncheons, thanks to his generosity, and also his book on the diaconate as well.
Absolutely. I would highly recommend all of his work. The one on biblical eldership in particular is really applicable for this conversation. And then to kind of piggyback on your recommendation earlier, a Puritan, John Owen, has a book called Duties of Christian Fellowship. And that is just a great read. He really sets out the responsibilities that Christians have, first and foremost to their pastors, but then also to one another within the fellowship. And so both of those would be great books if your listeners want to continue reading on the topic.
And those books will be available at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who sponsored this program. Well, I want to remind our listeners that the website for the church where my guest, Pastor Kevin Hay, serves as the under-shepherd is redeemeraz.org, redeemeraz for Arizona.org. And also, don't forget about the Open Air Theology Conference next month, and find out details at openairtheology.com, openairtheology.com. It has been such a joy, Pastor Kevin, to have you back on the program. I look forward to your frequent return visits to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.